A beautiful day like he did today, but another opportunity two times on this Lord's Day that we could assemble together in a fashion like this to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. I appreciate you being here, and that's an encouragement to me. It's always an encouragement to me to see you and to be with you, and so I hope you feel the same. I encourage you to take your Bible out, follow along with me, and make sure that what I'm saying is in harmony with the Word of God. I appreciate Ray doing the good job reading from Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And a lot could be said about that text, but one of the things that is made mention of in verse 4 is the fact that Jesus is our Savior. You know, the Bible makes mention several times of the fact that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Even before He was born, it's made mention that He was going to save His people from their sins. Matthew 1:21, He's the Lamb of God. John 1:29, the light of the world. John chapter 1, the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, a lot of passages talk about who Jesus is and what He accomplished. But I want us to talk for a little while this evening about the title of the lesson, about the topic this evening, Christ's relationship to Christians. Our relationship to Jesus, our Savior, if we've obeyed the gospel. Outlines are in the back. There's 11 on the outline. I'm just going to talk with you about five or six of them this evening. We'll save the rest for another time. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 11, this one impresses me probably more so than any of the other ones we're going to talk about. In Hebrews, chapter 2, and in verse 11, the Bible says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." Among so many other things, Jesus in the New Testament is pictured as being our brother. He's our great high priest, Hebrews chapter 4, and a lot of other things, but we are brethren with the Lord Himself. The very one who died that we might live eternally, the very one who said that He came that He might give us life and that we might have it more abundantly, John 10:10, is our brother. In John 20, verse 17, to Mary He said, "Touch me not yet, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and tell them that I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." That's also stated in Matthew 28, verse 10. And so Christ's relationship to those who have put Him on in baptism, we are brethren together with Him. But also the Bible talks about the fact that we have fellowship with Him. That means a joint participation, a relationship, a sharing together. In the book of 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Christ Jesus, who is our Lord." Again, that's 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 3. The Lord told those of Laodicea, recorded in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in unto him, and will sup with him and him with me." And so it's amazing to me and something that ought to impress each of us that we can have fellowship with Jesus Christ our Savior, not only here, but for all eternity when this life is over. But also, it's given that we might suffer with Him. In the book of Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 29, as Paul is writing to the church of Christ at Philippi, he said it very simply, "For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer with Him, or to suffer for His sake." Many times we might suffer as a result of being followers of Jesus. And not only were we to believe on Him, but also we will suffer with Him. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 17. Romans 8, verse 17. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we..." What's the rest of that? "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together with Him." And so we're going to suffer as Christians, and it's given on our behalf not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. So we're brethren together with them. We have fellowship with them. We suffer with them. And then the Bible talks about the fact that we are crucified with him. Now, obviously, he's not talking about a physical crucifixion. I mean, here we are today. We've not been physically crucified, but we are become dead to sin. The old man of sin is dead, crucified, buried with him. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said, I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we are crucified with him. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. It's amazing to me that people in the religious world today can read a passage like Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and somehow reach a conclusion, not based upon this text, but other things entering in, reach a conclusion that somehow an individual is somehow dead to sin, buried with Christ, risen to walk the new life before ever being baptized. It's when we are buried in baptism that the old man is crucified, put to death, and that we can rise to walk in newness of life. And this passage points that out so very clear. But we are crucified with him. But also the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that we are buried with him. Therefore we are buried with him. Now watch this. Therefore we are buried with him. How and when? By baptism. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Except to be buried with Christ, you can't walk in newness of life. And that takes place when we are buried with Christ in baptism. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, and in verse 12, it talks about being buried with Christ. We are buried with Christ by baptism, risen with him by faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And so we can be crucified with him, buried with him. Now watch this next point. Risen with him. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, I made mention of this morning, Paul talks about this very point in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 beginning. He says, therefore, if you then be risen with Christ, not therefore, he says it, if you then be risen with Christ, and obviously they had been because they were Christians. But he's making an emphatic statement, the conclusion, if you have, then you need to do these things. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. American Standard Version, the New King James Version says, set your mind, your affection, King James Version, but set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so not only can we be crucified with him, buried with him, we can be risen with him. One more point. In the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible makes mention of the fact that we can live with him. Philippians is a beautiful four-chapter book, and really there's four Christ-centered lessons in these four chapters of the book of Philippians, one of which is found in chapter 1, verse 21, which is Christ, the purpose of life. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In 1 Corinthians 15:19, therefore, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 7 points concerning Christ's relationship to Christians, really our relationship to Christ. And we're brethren with him, have fellowship with him, suffer with him, crucified with him, buried with him, risen with him, and live with him. I'll save the rest for another listen at some other time. Do your study. Add to these. See if we come up with the same one. Pick you up an outline in the back. Do a study and see if you come up with these same ones, or maybe you have some others that you could add to the lesson. Should you be here tonight, not a Christian, you can have a relationship with Christ and the things that we've talked about tonight if you'll obey the gospel. And I assure you that 6 hours ago, In the span of 6 hours' time, that God's plan to save man has not changed. When I shared it with you this morning, by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ and being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. You can do that this very evening. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord, not been faithful as you should. You want to come home, be restored. You can't. The repentance, confession of those things in prayer, we'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.